I actually got to watch the video quite a while ago. I heard that the video was going to be played, so I watched it, and it's actually a bit of what I'm going to speak on tonight. It doesn't fall far from desires of my heart, so I'd like to share maybe more of a bit of a devotional style rather than a message. I'd like to share just some things from the Word of God. So I'll get you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 7. And while you're doing that, I'll just maybe introduce what I'm going to talk about tonight. I was talking to Dad this week about some thoughts I had had regarding the video, and I couldn't really summarize them or put them all together. I had lots of little stories and analogies I wanted to bring together, but I didn't know specifically what that was called. And Dad said, "It sounds like you're talking about the word revival." So that's what it is. That's what I'm going to speak on tonight, revival. Now, when we hear the word revival, we often think of big revival, such as maybe Billy Graham's evangelism outreaches and the thousands and thousands of people that were saved through that. I'm going to talk tonight maybe on maybe a smaller scale, talking to saved believers tonight, a revival in individuals' hearts. So Acts chapter 7, I'll read a little story in there in just a few seconds. I want to say what the word revival means. You won't find the word revival specifically in Scripture, but it's Scripture all the same. The word revive means renewed interest after a period of decline. Renewed interest after a period of decline. Tonight I want to look at the individual's revival and what that looks like. I'd like to ask the question too, to kind of summarize my whole message, on what it takes to be a man like Don Richardson and his family. Incredible story, obviously, we just watched. That's real. A young man and his wife taking their seven-month-old baby into basically the middle of nowhere. Cannibalistic, you know, a horrendous to us in the Western world kind of village. And there the gospel spread. So what it takes to be a man like Don Richardson, and how do we get to the point of taking, doing something like that? Something crazy and maybe not what we're not accustomed to here. So Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to jump into verse 54. This is right in the middle of the story. This is the story of Stephen. I'd like to pick up a couple of things. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, and we'll read six verses. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart," that's the Pharisees and the religious rulers, "and they gnashed their teeth at him with their teeth." They're talking about Stephen here. "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Then they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And we'll just ask for the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather as a body of believers. I pray, Lord, that you would just help me in the next few minutes to articulate what I've studied this week, that you'd use me and speak to individuals tonight in the audience. And we give you thanks for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. So Stephen, in verse 55, it said he was glowing with the Holy Spirit. He was in the presence of God, about to die. But there's an interesting little phrase about another young man there. And I want you to jump down and look at the end in verse 58. "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." Now Saul, at this point, was persecuting this new, I guess to him, this new faith that he had never experienced before. It was threatening his position. He was in quite high authority and position, and was persecuting this church, and was overseeing the deaths and the martyrs of these believers that were sharing the gospel actively. So at this particular moment, Stephen was talking to this group of people, and they decided to stone him. So Paul was overseeing this and watched this happen. And they gave him their coats, keeping watch over the coats of those that were stoning Stephen and overseeing it. I want to bring this out of this little story here. Saul never knew at that moment that he would be the one to change history in a time to come. He didn't know, he had no idea that he would give one third of the New Testament. He had no idea. A man that was stoning Christians had no idea that for that very reason, for the faith of this new faith, that he would end up being killed for. He had no idea. He would end up being killed for the thing he was killing Stephen for, and that he would be responsible for one third of the New Testament, which is amazing. That just how incredible that God changed his life and turned it right around. Saul was giving approval for Stephen to be killed, unaware that he would later be killed for the exact reason, preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Paul and the New Testament churches would change the trajectory of their time with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Paul never seen that coming. Saul didn't see it coming on the road to Damascus when the Lord would say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing? What I want to do in just the next few moments is bring out this little example, is that God is interested in individuals. He's very interested in individuals. God specifically called Saul out right on the road to Damascus. God is concentrated on individuals, not the masses. You see that in Christ's earthly ministry. Christ, with his disciples, spent 3 years pouring into them specifically and wasn't concentrated on the masses. He spoke the gospel to thousands and thousands of people, but he was uniquely interested in those 12 and specifically the people that believed in his name. And that's very scriptural. Something that I've maybe struggled with in the last little bit is that the club, when me and Jody first took it over, I thought Awana had a great base of kids. So I thought, man, me and Jody are coming into, you know, a thriving spot, and we're just going to overtake it, and we're going to have hundreds of kids, and the whole spot's going to be filled, and it's just going to be, like, unbelievable. And, man, did we get a rude awakening. Well, I did anyways. The first night, and we had 18, 15, somewhere around there. Anyways, it was a great night, but it was definitely a shock to my system that we had, you know, 18 kids in the front row, and I thought, man, like, I thought God would be interested in, you know, tons of kids coming out. We had done everything right. We had dotted our I's, we had crossed our T's to make this a success. And that's not how it panned out. But the more that I've done the club, I've realized specifically that God is very interested in those individual kids. We have 8 kids, roughly, I'd say 8 or 9 kids that come from unsaved homes that are regulars, plus other kids that come from time to time. Unsaved kids, never been in a church, let alone an assembly, never heard the gospel before. God's very interested in individuals. He's interested in those individual kids' needs. He sees those kids. I'm not sure how many times we've said at the club, and we've heard in messages, and I've said it, and Joey said that God specifically knows the hairs on those kids' head. We say that just very casually, but if we really believe that God has the hairs in your head numbered, that's a pretty incredible thought. He's uniquely interested in individual lives. God's not calling thousands of people to him at a time. He's picking one by one here and there, and the gospel's getting to those people, specifically those kids. Those kids are hearing the gospel every week. We're building relationships, interested in individuals. He preached the masses, but was interested specifically in the disciples and in those that believed in his name. I want to ask a question. Do you need an on the road to Damascus moment in your life where they call out, Jesse, Jesse, what are you doing? Do you need to be called out individually? God's looking to call you out individually. Revival comes from going back to your first love, contemplating that the very God of heaven and the universe would come to earth for someone like me. Revival starts from in here. It starts from the heart. Don Richardson didn't go out because it was an outward thing. It started in here. He had a revival, and he seen a need for lost souls, and God gave him the desires of his heart. To look in here is where the formula is, not to go out. I always, you know, I've learned that the longer I become a Christian. It's not a flash in the pan. It's not, you know, out there and then you run out of energy, you die out. But we found that in the evangelism group. We go hard out and then we get very discouraged quickly and had to come back in. God's not looking for the flash in the pan type thing. He's looking for individuals to consecrate their lives to him with their heart. 1 Chronicles 29:5b says, "And who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Who is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Maybe you've been saved for only a couple years. Maybe you've been saved for 40 years plus. Right now where you're sitting, we often say that right now where you're sitting, you can be saved. But right now where you're sitting, if you are saved, you can renew your heart to God. Maybe you're lukewarm. Maybe you come here regularly, but it's pretty, I wouldn't say I don't find it, but maybe you find it boring. Maybe you're bored and you don't serve a boring God. Maybe you need to renew your heart to God. God's looking to call you out. He wants to call you out. He knows you very well. He knows you inside and out more than you know yourself. And he wants to use you for his service. Don Richardson didn't just go out on a whim to the jungles. Don had consecrated himself to the Lord. He had put his heart away for the Lord and made himself willing and available for the Master's use. Are you willing to be used by the Master? Revival starts in the heart, where you go back to your first love. Give your life and your heart back to the Lord and watch as God uses you in ways you've never dreamed of. It's very easy in these circles to get into grooves or just in the ordinary. Just going to chapel every week, you know, maybe make it out to Wednesday night so you're doing really well that week, you know, being a little bit involved. God wants to use you in ways that blow your mind. You know, Don Richardson, that's an incredible story. And I think we disconnect ourselves with that in the Western world, that that doesn't happen to us. And it can happen when you look in here and you give your life to God and you renew your heart and you say, God, I want to be used by you. Restore me, make me into your son's image and use me. Let us not become lukewarm at heart where we think that the pinnacle of this Christian life and walk is going to every meeting and spending a little time with God in the day. I don't think we have any idea how dangerous we would be for the Master's use if we renewed our hearts to him and gave him full permission to use and change our lives. We look at a man like Don Richardson and we say, well, that's for him over there, you know. Hats off to you, you're incredible, but I'll stay over here. You know, that ain't me, that's not me. And you're right, it's not you, it's God. God wants to use you, and you can be used by him in your different walks. That might not necessarily mean that you're going to be standing at the pulpit or you're going to be the outspoken person, but God has a specific plan for your life, and we've heard that over and over again, but to really believe that, God has a specific plan mapped out for your life, and he's just waiting for you to come to him and say, God, I'm willing to be used by you. Use me. I'm a terrible judger of time. In my mind, this was going to be a lot longer, but that is all I have. I'm not going to overdraw it and say stuff that I don't mean. So I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. I'm a couple minutes early. I hope that's been an encouragement to you. That video certainly spoke to me in volumes that anything is possible with God, and he knows stuff even beyond our dreams of what he can use us. Even in old age or when we're super young, he used David at like 15 years old, and he used Don Richardson still going back there at 77. He can use you wherever in your life. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for the gospel coming to us and saving us. Lord, we would be very dangerous people for the Master, Lord. We'd be very dangerous people for you if we all had the mindset of this young family, Lord. We pray that we would be used by you. We want to be used by you. We thank you for your son and the unspeakable gift of love that came to us. Lord, I don't understand that, how the God of the universe would come down and die for someone like me. But I thank you for your son tonight. I pray that this week, as we go out in our different lives, our different workplaces, that we would be used by you, that you'd start a revival in individuals' hearts here, Lord, that we would come to you in humbleness and want to be used by you. We thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, most of all. In his name, amen.